Let's find out what's on Bill's mind today. It's Wake Up with Bill Finch, live on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
And wake up, everyone in our listening area, to your home here on Connoisseur Media for truth, justice, and democracy. We're living in a dystopian America where our rights are being eroded right from underneath us, and our president is acting outside the law and outside the Constitution. This show is to wake us up every Sunday for 1 hour on Connoisseur Media. They allow Melissa Kane and I this hour to bring you guests who can provide the information you need. The information you need to get through the next week. It may be difficult, but we're full of hope here, and we know that if we fight back and we wait, stay awake, we're going to be able to fight back on this dissolving of our democratic system. But tune in every Sunday, as you did today, for a patriotic, full-throated endorsement of the pillars of American democracy and red meat for the ideals that built this great nation. It's great to be here today. Melissa, how are you today?
I'm hoping you can hear me. If our producer will give me a thumbs up. All right, great. I am so happy to be with you, Bill. I always am every Sunday. But I'm reeling not only from the events of the last 8 months of the consistent chipping away of our democratic institutions and intensifying of violent rhetoric, but these past few weeks, the government shutdown, the raid in Chicago where children were zip-tied and dragged from their homes at 1 a.m., it's a lot. So listen,
well, Stalin did that.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, Hitler did that. Mao Zedong did that. I mean, well, why couldn't Trump?
There you go.
If you that's what you want.
I'm feeling that our government and our country are unrecognizable right now.
Oh, my goodness.
And that's why I'm here with Bill, because I feel like we need, guys, this isn't a drill. We need to stand up for what's right and for the rule of law, and we need to be the peaceful and persistent resistance. And that's why I'm here. And I've got to say, that's why I love this show. It helps keep us informed, because every Sunday we feature nutmeggers who are walking the walk and fighting for our democratic institutions and norms.
And punching back.
Yeah, helping us understand and prepare for what's lying ahead in this country of ours and this state. And this morning, Bill, this morning is no exception. Someone we both know well and respect, attorney Chris Matty from the Bridgeport law firm of Koskoff, Koskoff and Beter, is widely regarded as one of the nation's premier trial attorneys. He's handled some of the highest profile trials in the country, including serving as lead counsel for the Sandy Hook families in their defamation lawsuit against Alex Jones, which culminated in $1.4 billion of a jury verdict. Yeah, the largest defamation verdict in American history and the largest verdict of any kind in Connecticut history.
And he deserves more punishment.
Well, Chris represents many victims of defamation, medical negligence, sexual abuse, and civil rights violations, and he's got an extensive pro bono practice. And before joining Koskoff, he served as chief of the Financial Fraud and Public Corruption Unit with the United States Attorney's Office, which has really set him up for what's sadly we're facing right now. That was for the District of Connecticut. He was a federal prosecutor, and he supervised and served as the trial counsel in the prosecution of former Governor John Rowland on campaign finance and obstruction.
He can sniff out corruption everywhere.
He really can. You're going to see him on MSNBC and CNN and in the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal and the Washington Post offering legal commentary concerning the rule of law, disinformation, and criminal justice. And in 2024, Forbes magazine named Chris to its inaugural list of America's top 200 lawyers. But we here in Connecticut knew that long before. Welcome, Chris. We're so glad to have you with us this morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Bill. Good morning, Melissa. Good to be with you.
Well, we're so happy you're here, Chris. I know your time is limited, and I know that Koskoff's firm is very generous in their pro bono work. So this is sort of pro bono work for us here this morning, because you're going to reach our listeners and talk about the efforts you're taking and your firm is taking to reset the agenda here and to use the court system to protect our rights that are being eroded. And why don't we start with the case that you had, if that's okay, trying to preserve the three FBI agents who had been arresting criminals, doing great things to keep us all safe, and the vindictive president, who will not be named, went and along with those three and hundreds of others made our country that much more unsafe. Tell us how that came about and what you did and how you helped us.
Sure. Well, you know, I guess after the inauguration, In January, you know, we here at Koskov weren't sure, you know, what role we would have to play and the extent to which we would have to defend both law enforcement and civil institutions and the justice system itself. But we very quickly realized as they started walking out, FBI leadership who had been involved in January 6th investigations, pardoning all of the January 6th rioters.
Who were criminally convicted.
Role for us. Yeah. And so initially we represented the FBI Agents Association as they were trying to, you know, prevent the Trump administration from a mass political purge at the FBI. And we were successful in doing that. But what the Trump administration then turned around to do is basically a slow rolling purge, which included the former acting director of the FBI, Brian Driscoll, former assistant director in charge of the Washington field office, Steve Jensen, Spencer Evans, special agent in charge of the Las Vegas office, all of whom were fired for political reasons, basically for refusing to carry out the political wishes of the Trump administration.
And there's got to be a great danger to the functionality of the FBI as these purge continues. And that's why your work in this is so important. But I'm going to interrupt you, ask you to hold that thought. We've got to stop for a couple of messages, and we'll be right back with Chris Maddie on WICC.
Fairfield County Talk for a Sunday morning. Wake Up with Bill Finch is live on the Voice of Connecticut, WICC 600 and 95.9.
And we're back. This is Melissa Kane along with Bill Finch on WICC. We are talking this morning with attorney Chris Maddie, who is fighting to ensure we continue to live in a country where civil liberties exist. And we're talking about a suit where he is representing or started out representing the FBI Agents Association against the Department of Justice over sharing names of agents involved in the January 6th probe. We started talking about this, Chris. I mean, I guess my big question is, what is the cost on top of the cost to these people's lives, the cost of purging the FBI? How does this affect our listeners, you know, directly?
Yeah, I mean, oftentimes what I'll do when I talk about this is describe the biographies of the leaders that were fired. I mean, Brian Driscoll has served in crisis response, coordinating the country's response to crises. He's been a tactical operator overseas. He's been awarded all sorts of decorations and honors for his courage and his integrity, as have the other gentlemen. And they were really examples to the rest of the FBI workforce about, you know, what the best of the FBI is: integrity, professionalism, competence, non-political law enforcement. And when you purge the FBI of people like that, you really handicap our country's ability to protect the American people and to protect our country. Right. I mean, these are the folks who spent their careers developing expertise and competence in these areas. And, you know, one of our concerns here and why we're doing everything we can to stand up to this purge at the FBI is that the Trump administration is obviously making decisions for political reasons and not in what's the best interest of the American people. And, you know, we're terrified about the possibility of there being a mass attack.
Yeah, I mean, this just puts us, we're like wide open, aren't we, right now, with the way the people, to your point, people who have great experience and have protected us for years are just being sort of thrown aside.
You know,
for their political
views. Chris, Melissa and I had a chance to talk before the show, and I just read the most recent book on Watergate by Garrett Graff, Watergate, The New History. And it, the same thing happened back then. They weaponized the DOJ. They weaponized FBI. They tried to weaponize the CIA. And they were stopped by people like you, people also like good Republican senators who had enough of Nixon's lawbreaking. Yeah. Are we going to see that here? What do you think?
Well, I don't think that you're going to see much resistance from Senate Republicans. I've been continually disappointed by their unwillingness to stand up for things that really matter.
You're kind of on your own on this one.
Yeah, yeah. And you've been pretty vocal. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I just think that, you know, we still do have institutions in the country that are capable of policing lawlessness, and that's the courts.
Yeah,
you've
been very vocal.
A lot of these fights are happening.
Yeah.
It would be nice to see stronger political opposition in the Congress. It would be nice to see, you know, widespread national protest movement against what's happening, because I agree, Bill, with what you said earlier about, you know, this being a real moment of peril. But for now, you know, the fights that we're having in the courts are effective. And I think that they're demonstrating, I hope that they're demonstrating that the president is not as strong and all powerful as he claims to be.
Well, you have two people here who get hope from your actions, that's for sure. And that's why we were so interested in getting you on here to share that message of hope with our listeners, because people are getting browbeaten here. Melissa?
Yeah, I mean, you certainly have a history of fighting against corruption, and so you've seen this before.
Tell us about the Federal Reserve, yeah, and Lisa Cook. And you know, if we look at the United States and our prime role in the world. We've had NATO, we've had the Federal Reserve, we have major institutions keeping us stable, keeping our economy stable, keeping war at bay. And those are things that Trump has attacked. Sorry, I said his name. You know, tell us what the Federal Reserve politicization can do, and how strong is your case to save Lisa Cook's job? Tell us about that.
Right. Well, you know, President Trump, I think it's clear, wants to manipulate the Federal Reserve to take certain economic actions to benefit him politically, but that aren't based in sound economic policy. And so to do that, he basically doctored up a reason for firing Lisa Cook, one of the governors of the Federal Reserve, that was not successful. The court reinstated her, and that case is now proceeding to the Supreme Court. But the reason that's so dangerous is it's similar to, you know, Trump getting rid of the commissioner of the Bureau of Labor Statistics. You know, when things happen in
the economy,
the
messenger
that he doesn't like or don't benefit him politically, he tries to change things. But that really results in a lack of confidence in the markets, pullback in investments, and, you know, an economy that is not functioning as it should. And so, you know, I think that the case on behalf of Lisa Cook, and we don't represent her, we represent a number of economists who have submitted a brief
and amicus brief
in support of her. But, it appears to me that the Supreme Court, based both on statements it's made in previous cases, really does view the Federal Reserve as unique among federal agencies. And even though they've allowed the president to get rid of leaders from, you know, what are supposed to be independent agencies and other areas, we think the Federal Reserve is unique in this respect. And so, you know, I'm hopeful that the president will not be able to exercise complete political control over an institution that is so important to our economy and really, you know, the international economy.
But with 4 years, you know, the better part of 4 years pretty much let to go, still to go here, he can wait it out. He can still weaponize the Department of Justice by changing, like, for example, in Virginia, the chief attorney he replaced who would not indict Comey. I know that you can't talk about that case, but we can. And certainly that was weaponizing of the DOJ, and he continues to do this. He's a petulant little child in the sandbox throwing his toys around. But the toys are our pillars of democracy, Chris. Tell us what you see in terms of the erosion of the pillars of our democracy. We talk about this on the show a lot. The peaceful transfer of power, the balance of power between the branches, the balance between the federal and state system. Tell us what you see and how you, as this big shot lawyer, can help us.
Yeah, I mean, you could fill up 8 hours a day on those questions. But I think, you know, what he's clearly trying to do with the Justice Department is kind of pervert the investigative power, which has traditionally been independently exercised by career prosecutors and agents in the Justice Department, into a tool of his political power, obviously, to punish people he perceives as his enemies. And, you know, he can do that by choosing people who he knows are going to be loyal to him. And so, well, you're right. I don't want to discuss the underlying facts of the Comey case because our firm represents his daughter in her own unlawful firing case. I am willing to talk about the way in which he basically handpicked an inexperienced political loyalist to go in and try and get an indictment against somebody who, you know, he has long hoped to punish. And what happens in situations like that is, you know, the American people now come to lack any trust or confidence in the justice system itself, because they see it being used for the personal whims of a president. And it really is destabilizing to a country that depends on the equal, non-political enforcement of the law, and it can have real long-term consequences. Now, you want to talk about hope. I mean, the reality is that I can't imagine that case is going anywhere because of all of the flaws and defects it has, not the least of which is it appears that the acting U.S. attorney who was handpicked by Trump may not be occupying that position lawfully. But that's not really the point. I think the point for
Trump, that's just the law, Chris. Come on, don't bring up silly little details like the law and the Constitution.
But that's exactly to Chris's point. Once things are destabilized and upside down is right side up, it instills fear. It makes people back away.
The Comey affair really is about Trump trying to demonstrate and project that he has the power to do something, mm-hmm. putting aside whether he ever gets a conviction, which he won't.
Cost him money. Comey's got to prepare a defense. He's got to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars. These universities have to spend hundreds of millions of dollars to defend themselves from being silenced. Law firms, big law firms, not yours, but others have acquiesced and licked his boots and bent their knee. These aren't always meant to necessarily win in court. I've had many cases.
To create an atmosphere of fear.
When there are
Hey, Chris, can you stay with us a couple minutes? Because we have to do the news. Can you stay a couple more minutes?
Oh, sure.
Okay, we're going to go right to the news, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back with Chris Batty of Koskoff, Koskoff & Beter on Connoisseur Media here at WICC, 600 AM, 95 FM.
Bill's got a lot on his mind, so let's get right to it. You're listening to Wake Up with Bill Finch, live on the Voice of Connecticut, WICC 600 and 95.9.
I would say Bill and Melissa have a lot on their minds, but that's coming soon. We are speaking with attorney Chris Batty, and Chris, thank you for hanging on with us. I know you've got a hard stop pretty soon. Look, you have been involved in so many anti-corruption cases in the state of Connecticut. Your name is all over all of the good things, campaign finance, law reform, anything you can think of that says trying to fight corruption in the state. But I'll ask you now about your thoughts about the pardoning of John Rowland, because it came as a shock.
Yeah, I'll be honest, Melissa, I hadn't thought about John Rowland in a long time.
Not many people had. Better for him.
Nothing shocked me about that pardon. After Trump pardoned thousands of January 6th criminals, everything else seemed in play. And I didn't know that a pardon was under consideration for John Rowland. I think what is concerning about it isn't so much that it was Rowland, but just the way that Trump is using a pardon power that really, really is only supposed to be used for cases that are in the public interest and not as a way of doling out favors or forgiveness or withheld, from the president's political opponents. And so,
but it's not surprising that he's abusing this pardon power. I mean, that comes as no surprise if he's that's his way.
Yes. So I don't know what the arrangement is with John Rowland, but I think Rowland is kind of, his time is long past. He's been convicted twice. I don't think that a pardon does anything to kind of whitewash what was a very public trial and a very public demonstration of the fact that he had tried to corrupt our elections going back to 2012. The other thing I would say about it is that John Rowland has paid a very, very heavy price for the choices he's made in his life. And, if a pardon helps him or his family in any way, I'm not particularly begrudging of that. I just think that, the way the president has used the pardon power is what should be most concerning to everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, listen, our thanks to you, Chris, for joining us this morning.
Leave
and
us
thank
with
you.
One hopeful, hopeful nugget here.
All
before
right. We're not
leave
letting
us.
You go. Yeah. We do always ask, what is giving you hope? If you can tell us something quickly, because we want hope.
Yeah, I would just say that, what I've seen from lawyers and not the big law firms who, as you said earlier, Bill, have really just disgraced themselves with how they capitulated to Trump.
Never thought we'd see that, Chris.
I never thought we would see that. Did you?
I never would have imagined that law firms who are so rich and so powerful and have so much capacity to challenge unlawful behavior would just knuckle under like that. But there have been others in the legal community, nonprofits, labor unions, organizations that represent immigrant communities, firms like ours, small law firms that have really, really brought the fight to this sort of lawless behavior. It's been inspiring to watch. And, you know, I think when the history of this period is written, I hope that, you know, the courageous actions both taken by, you know, people who were wronged by the Trump administration and decided to step up and bring a lawsuit, and then the lawyers who represented them and the juries and the judges who held the line, you know, that to me has been really inspiring to see.
Indeed.
And we need, you know, but there needs to be more than that. And I appreciate Bill and Melissa, your efforts here as well.
Well, we really loved having you on. We'd love to have you on again to talk with us soon. I hope you can. I would just say before you leave, you know, all of these cases require funding. And I know that there are organizations that you can give to, and I'll do a little research and get this out there. But there are organizations, ones that are well known and ones that have just formed, where, you know,
we take your guidance on that, Chris.
Yeah,
if you've got some places,
please,
for people to donate.
And
just let me also add, Chris, I know you put your toe in the water of politics running for attorney general. I know that one of my bosses, Sean Daly at the IBEW, the Electrical Workers Union, was a big passionate supporter of yours. You made a big impact on him and others. And I think you should not discount that. This is a tough time for all of us, and we need people like you with the kind of positivity and hopefulness that you have and the capability of pulling off these billion-dollar verdicts against scumbags like Mr. Jones. We think a lot of you. We're so happy you came on the show, and if you do go into elected office, you can count on us to allow you to make whatever announcement you want on this show here. You're always welcome.
Oh, thank you, Bill. Thank you, Melissa. And I love to hear Sean Daly's name, too. Such a great guy.
Thank you.
He talks about you all the time. Thanks, Chris.
Yeah, thanks.
We'll
thanks
be right back after us. These messages.
Talking about what matters to you this morning. Wake up with Bill Finch. WICC 695.9, the voice of Connecticut.
Well, hello again. This is Melissa Kane here with Bill Finch.
The co-host who's not on the moniker yet, but she will be soon. Melissa Kane.
I'm just being tested.
Brilliant
right now.
Co-host.
Nothing's
of Wake Up.
Nothing's for sure.
Finch and Kane.
We're back to talk about what's happened this week in the dystopian world of the Trump administration versus the people of the United States. I don't know what you want to talk about, Bill. There is a lot to talk about. We could be the government shutdown. How do you have the chutzpah to blame a shutdown on the party that isn't in power. We could talk about the Democratic response. We could talk about Hegseth and Trump's ridiculous comedy, if it wasn't terrifying, Monty Python-esque production in front of all of our military leadership. We could talk about Project 2025 right on target. We could also talk about the horrific ICE roundups in Chicago. That's been haunting me. There's sort of no shortage of talking points when you think about a society, and you think about the quote that you and I talked about earlier before, the measure of a society's worth and value or people's humanity is how they treat their children. And you see pictures of children.
It's so hard, Melissa. We talk about this every week. There is a steady stream, a fire hose of illegal activity, corruption, and just unprincipled and petty behavior. I don't want to just talk. Just to show you how petty it gets, all right? Show how petty it gets. We all know Trump is, you know, kingifying the office. He's putting gold filigree up everywhere. He's building this giant, without approval of Congress, he's spending money, millions and millions of dollars, on a giant ballroom for him to entertain guests. Hopefully it could be used for his soiree with the early impeachment, like Nixon had to do in the East Room. You know, this is just amazing. He's going to go see the king in England, and he's going to pretend like he's royalty. So he wants to bring a gift. He wants to bring a sword that Eisenhower is in the Eisenhower Library. Eisenhower was given a sword by the British.
Yeah.
And it was a very telling thing, because here's a man who rescued democracy. Mm-hmm. And Eisenhower is a great American hero. We love President Eisenhower for what he did as a military leader and as a president. I'm a Democrat. I thought Eisenhower didn't do as much as I would like him to do, but he did leave office.
We're going way back. We're going way back.
Yeah, yeah, it was a different time. Yeah.
That's right.
So he wants this sword. So the head of the Eisenhower Library, the presidential library, won't give him the sword. So they fire the head of the library. Like, this is just so freaking petty.
Yeah, but it all tracks. None of this is, it's petty, but not surprising.
Why would Americans want a president to act like that? It's not making America great again.
Well, here's my thought.
MAPA, making America petty again.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I do really believe, and I think you and I have both seen this in the work we've done with sustainability, that for the very most part in the world, because people are focused on, you know, just getting through the day, paying their taxes, taking care of their kids, making sure they have enough money to feed them and they have enough energy to be there for their family, most people are not acting on something until it directly affects them.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
A friend of mine said, you got to touch the stove. You got to keep, I don't know, 20 times touch the stove before you do something. And I think people, while they see the petty actions and the vindictive actions that this administration
really
is taking, it's not affecting them necessarily. If they're not people who are here.
But, you know, don't you think, I mean, if you think about it, right, would you want your child to act like that?
100% not. But you're talking to me. You're talking to someone who's been activated since was, you know, 15.
Yeah, but maybe even somebody who's totally detached, who's trying to pay the bills and isn't paying attention. If you said, would you like your president to act in this petty, vindictive way against somebody who's just doing their job? Of course not. Americans aren't like that. Okay. I don't know many.
But again, it's what people are focused on. It's where they're getting their news.
Sure.
Right? Yeah. So not everybody's getting the same information.
They're getting good stuff here on Wake Up.
That's true.
With
we're pretty Finch good.
And Kane. Well, I want to just go back to the week that we had here, and we want to talk about the steady onslaught of the loss of our freedoms, not just a silly sword, which, of course, was important, but the meeting with the generals, and the week before that, the meeting at the United Nations. The world was looking at this lunatic of a president talking about escalators and pumps and whatever the heck he's talking about makes absolutely no sense. And this is the guy with the finger on the button who commands the most powerful military in the world. And up till now, one of the more strong democracies in the world, although it's been quite weak. We've got to think about how we're looked at by the rest of the world, right?
I think our standing in the world, no doubt, has changed dramatically in the last 8 months, 10
America,
months.
Wake up. Do you really want a Secretary of Defense, a defense, not war? Mm-hmm. It was the Department of War in the Civil War when we were pretty much a warlike nation just for our own survival. We went to a Department of Defense because we are to defend democracy,
defend democracy, and hopefully end all war.
Right. Not to start war.
Right.
Not to name your department after that, which you have purposely set out to end. There's no sense in this. And he said, we want warriors, not wokeism. Mm-hmm. You know, I am one of the wokest people you've ever met, Melissa, and so are you. Because you know what woke means? You care about other people. You care about their feelings. You don't put yourself above them. And if there's something that they are insensitive about, you try to be sensitive to them.
Yeah.
You know, we all have members of our family that are gay, trans, bisexual. And when they ask us to treat them the way they want to be treated, why would we then subjugate them to some sort of punishment of our feelings toward them? It's their feelings. It's caring about them. It's caring about our fellow countrymen. You know, after World War II, our parents fought fascism. They knew what fascism was. They would never tolerate this. I've met your beautiful mother, and I know she has some stories to tell.
Yeah, we could.
And I know where you get your great looks.
Oh, that's very sweet. We can get into that some other time. What I'm getting from this is that all of the things you say, Bill, I agree with. But when you look at the military, it's even more important to make sure that people are integrated.
Yeah.
People are not divided.
Right.
So that they can work together and care about each other and not be, you don't want infighting.
So we came out
years and years and years of progress
and studies and
to make sure
facts
that
and science
this, that
and,
our that
yeah,
our that our military
you
know works like a well-oiled machine. And I think this absolutely sets us back, and from the looks on the faces of the generals who are there,
they were dumbfounded.
You can be sure many, 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 if not all of them, felt that way. You know, you talk about fighting fascism, and I saw this great, I can't remember where I saw it, a great photo, probably on X or Instagram. My Antifa membership kit arrived today, and it's a picture of the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, and the Constitution. That's what Antifa is.
I love
That's
the one that I put out fascism. On my Facebook page. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And it was a picture of the armed forces attacking Normandy at Juno Beach and Gold Beach and Omaha Beach, where my dad was, and his ship was sunk. And it's a meaningful thing to me when a president says that those people who died were suckers and losers. That's just a vile, disgusting comment that does not have any place in the annals of American presidency. Putting that aside for a second, it showed the Antifa forces.
Right.
You know, they were the Antifa forces. Antifa is not an organization, ladies and gentlemen.
We need to reclaim the word Antifa to be
anti-fascism.
Part of, that's right.
Anti-fascism means you're pro-democracy.
Spell it out.
Anti-fascism means you are against Donald Trump, who is a fascist.
And I'll tell you what, to me, because I want to get back to this, Antifa, to me, represents fighting back against illegal ICE raids that are directly...
By masked agents. You don't even know who they
agents.
Are.
Let's talk about what happened this week in Chicago, because I don't believe it is getting the national headlines and enough coverage that it needs to be. But my understanding is that there were raids in the middle of the night, 1 a.m., raids...
Kristallnacht.
Yeah, it does feel like that, into people's apartment buildings where children were brought out in there. Some of them, they say there were some people didn't even have any clothes on, but zip tied children brought out and families brought out into the street in the middle of the night. And I believe some of that is referred to as collateral. ICE admitting that up to 50% of arrests in Chicago raids are collateral. Think about that. Think about calling
you and
children
I can be collateral.
Ripped. Yeah, well, that's true. But right now,
not
the
people
focus,
were collateral,
right? And parents taken from their children, neighbors taken from their communities. When does collateral? You know, when does the trauma come to matter? Is my question. And then, the next day, I believe in the last couple of days, there have been peaceful protests against these raids.
Sure. Thank God.
And I read somewhere that a rabbi was arrested at a peaceful protest. His name is Rabbi Ben, and he was holding up a picture of Anne Frank. You mentioned Kristallnacht to point out that, a handmade poster of Anne Frank behind bars, and a rabbi who was leading this protest got arrested and thrown into the, I think it was the Cook County Sheriff's Office van.
Well, I'd like to just go back before we end the show with a point that you made, which I think is so, so very important. Our government now is shut down. We're not exactly sure what services will continue, what won't. It looks like we're in here for a relatively long haul because the Republicans are saying that it's the Democrats' fault. And obviously, you got to be an idiot to think that, because all we're saying is do not cut the CARE Act. Do not cut medical care for people. That's our...
For the uninsured, for legal American citizens who are too poor to have their own insurance.
It's not included. And because we don't have national health
care... They can lie and lie and lie, but that's the truth of what this is about.
We have to have this because we don't have a national health care system. We're the only industrialized nation that I know of that does not have a national health care system. And we pay that because our businesses cost more to run because they have to pay for health insurance. We're coming up on the end of the show.
Yeah.
That's gaslighting, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to know what gaslighting is, it's a little petty president who is going to blame the opponent to not eliminate health care costs for millions and millions of Americans. And we're willing to stand tall and stand strong for that. But as we go out here, both of us have a couple of things we wanted to say.
Sure. You
and
go for it.
I'm going to go first. I just want to thank Jeff Warsaw and the entire Connoisseur family, who just had great news this week. They've expanded to over 200 radio stations. We hope and wish them great luck and hope that this kind of community-based, live and local radio will continue to provide free speech rights for people like Melissa Kane and Bill Finch so that we can bring another point of view to you. Obviously, this is local. Yeah. This area is very anti-Trump. People can say what they want, but they're coming up on some protests where we're going to show this, right, Melissa?
Yes, I would absolutely like to talk about that. For those of you in Fairfield County who do not know this, there is a No Kings protest coming up on Saturday, October 18th, at locations across the state. All you have to do is type into Google No Kings 1018, and it's really, really well organized. There will be thousands and thousands of peaceful protests protesting the actions of this illegal administration all throughout the state, all throughout the nation.
You'll be there or be square.
Yeah, we'll be there. I hope you'll be there.
I was at yours in Westport, yeah. And I was in Bridgeport's, and I was in Trumbull's, and I was amazed at the large numbers of people who you don't expect to be out there.
But what's even more important is it has to be persistent.
Sure.
People, I mean, look, we've been doing this for years now, and protest, you know, there's sort of a back and forth of what good does a protest do? The only good a protest does is if it is persistent, if it is large number of the electorate is out there.
Right.
And
it has to be to protect our freedoms.
Yeah, and we can't have a short attention span on this one, Bill. You know, we're as Americans, we have a history of that.
All right,
I'm looking at the time here, and it looks like we've got.
I'm going to leave with Bobby Kennedy's quote.
You got to be quick because I got something else.
Oh, go ahead. Go. We'll do the quote next week.
Oh no, do it. Go it. Go in.
No, each time a man stands up against injustice or acts to improve the lot of others, he sends forth a tiny ripple of hope. Yeah. And crossing each other from a million different centers of energy and daring, these ripples will build a current to sweep down the mightiest walls of injustice. Go ahead.
Love that. And I'd like that to end every show. Huge thank you to our guest, Chris Matty, for joining Bill and me this morning. Thank you to our producer, Paul Goodman, who is awesome. And a huge thank you to all of you, our listeners, for waking up with us. I'm Melissa Kane. So happy to be here with Bill Finch. We'll be back next week, thanks to Connoisseur Media, right here on WICC. Have a wonderful Sunday. Stay engaged and stay strong.